Welcome to The Cozy Hearth, a podcast featuring the Cozy Vale Scribes. I'm your host, Kit Muse, and I'm joined today by Selena Eckert. And you may see him on camera, one of the office cats. So fill a mug with your favorite cozy beverage and settle in for today's episode, where we will be having an intimate conversation about the fantastic world of Cozy Vales. So welcome. Thank you so much for being here. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Why don't we start with just some basic introductions? I would love it if you want to speak a little bit about what you write, maybe a couple of your books.
Sure. I started publishing about 5-6 years ago at this point, and I did not start in the cozy space at all, but I shifted into there and kind of found my home, I guess I would say. So it started out with some fairy tale retellings. And one of them was Hansel and Gretel from the witch's perspective. And she was a pie witch set in fall. And it became the beginning of my first cozy fantasy series, though I didn't really know it at the time. So those are the Pie Jinx books. And I do have the first book to show here. So Vanilla Bean Vampire, that's the beginning of the whole series. This is what kind of got me into the cozy fantasy space and into the worlds. It sparked the Fireside Fantasy Group, which led to Cozy Vales, if you have any discussions with Scott. So I have written mostly anthology stories for that so far, but I do have some things planned. I have the world of Honey Hive Vale, which is a very like flower field, floral, honey, tea, all that kind of feeling. Yeah.
Well, I love it. It sounds great. And like you, I did not start in cozy fantasy. I started in a completely different genre, but then Scott put out a call for scribes. I realized the vibe that I was going for was very cozy, and that's what I like to write. I love that you mentioned your veil. So my veil is Thundering Grass Veil. And if you can't tell from my writing, there's a lot of horses in what I write. And so my veil features a nomadic equestrian tribe and lots of animals. And the Autumn anthology will be my first anthology. So that sounds great. I suppose we should probably begin by describing a little bit about the Cozy Vales and what it is. So you've talked about your veil. Each veil is an enclosed world, and man, I wish Scott was here because he did this so much better than I could. But each veil is kind of its own self-enclosed world, and the authors can write in their own world, or they can borrow elements from the other veils, and it kind of makes this nice little patchwork country, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
Do you want to expand on that at all? That seems like a very sad explanation for what's a very wonderful place to explore.
I mean, I can give a little bit more detail.
Oh, please.
I've been kind of back and forth with Scott since the beginning of this, so I've been involved from the beginning. So Cozy Vales is considered a shared world project, which means that we all write out of the same lore, the same canon. We use the same basic magic systems and the way that things work, the same levels of technology, but within that shared world, we all get our own little corner. So each scribe within the Cozy Vales can create their own space in this larger Cozy Vales country and kind of make it what they want of it. And it can be very interconnected or it can be very isolated depending on the author's preferences. But regardless, they do have that connection because we're all writing in that same world. So there's little tidbits here and there of like different holidays, like you'll see in the anthologies, or like the same queen is ruling at this time. You might hear about other veils or other characters or countries. They might make little cameo appearances. So it really varies from author to author. And what I've really enjoyed about the Cozy Vales experience too, is every author brings their own style story to the table too. So you're not just going to get one flavor of cozy story. You're going to get all kinds of flavors. There's some mysteries. There's some more like cozy cooking. There's more like world building and exploring. Like it's all there.
So much better than I did. Thank you for that. That was a wonderful explanation. And I think that kind of tees up nicely the next question that I like to talk with other authors about. And that is, what does cozy fantasy mean to you? Because I'm realizing that within this niche genre, there's lots of interesting little niches.
Yeah, there really is. And this has been, I think, a developing question over the last 5 or 6 years at this point, because this really is still kind of a new subgenre of fantasy, right? And as a subgenre, it's kind of making its own name as we go, and each reader and author is bringing their own definitions to it. Years and years ago, it was mostly just cozy mystery, right? And you might have some paranormal elements thrown in. And when I started Pyjinks, for example, that was kind of based off of that cozy mystery model because cozy fantasy didn't really exist yet. But I didn't know at the time that that's what I was aiming for. That's what I wanted. That's where Cozy Veils came from. And I think especially when the pandemic started back in 2020, people were really craving something that was light, something that was warm, a book that was like a hug or a cup of coffee or something to comfort them in a really difficult time. And I don't think that that's gone away. If anything, it's grown. And we've seen success with a lot of kind of high fantasy-esque books like Legends and Lattes or the Tomes and Tea series, where they take kind of a Dungeons and Dragons sort of vibe, but take out the adventure part and put them into what happens after the adventure or what happens when the adventure is a small town and opening a bookstore or something like that. And I think this is what a lot of readers have really latched onto. And it's just that comforting, warm vibe. And I hate to say that the definition of cozy fantasy seems to be vibes, but it's a lot of vibes.
No, it's wonderful to the point where literally just this last week, I don't mind sharing this, my therapist actually prescribed go write more cozy fantasy. Yeah, it's the vibes and the comfort and all that I think is very much a part of it, and that's where I'm coming from with it as well. But you said something that I'd love to go back to, and that is the evolution from cozy mysteries. So I have not read a lot of cozy mysteries, but my impression of the ones that I've read is that there's a lot of humor, there's usually a pretty zany character, that there's elements like that that you don't find, like if you think about like the mystery shows on television, for example, you know, quite a bit of them are more hard-boiled detective agency type shows. I would love to hear, especially in terms of your work, kind of where those elements came from. And I know we have another scribe who I hope to speak with that also writes in a cozy mystery type vein.
Right. So, I mean, cozy mystery has been around for a long time as a genre. And you're absolutely right. A lot of it is lighter, there's more joking, there's more hijinks. I think a big element too is a lot of them are amateur sleuths. And a lot of them tend to star like women as leads, which is something you don't really see in those hard-boiled like police noir kind of procedural things. So it's really is its own unique space. And people really like that lighter element to it. So even though there might be a murder in the town, like it's not like a graphic story. It's not something that people are going to have to be stressed about as they're reading. It's something that's injected with this humor and this fun that you wouldn't necessarily see in a different kind of mystery story. So like that's what I was originally starting to emulate because I was looking for that cozy feeling. Again, pandemic, we were all very stressed. There was a lot going on. writing those books was my comfort as well. I know you mentioned that. And it did start with that kind of mystery element. Like, for example, the first one I really wrote where I was aiming to have this cozy story, it's a story about different people in the town just vanishing for a few days and then coming back and having no memory of what happened. So that's kind of like the mystery element. What is going on here? But it's also fantasy. So we've got a pie witch who bakes emotions into pie. We've got fae. We have all kinds of other like mythical or cryptozoological creatures. So obviously there's a vampire since the first one, it's Vanilla Bean Vampire. But that story has like a little mystery at the center of it, but it's not a heavy mystery. Like, it's intriguing, it's confusing, but it's not something that's going to stress a reader out.
It sounds absolutely fascinating. I love it, just the way you're describing it. And I think too, you have a pie witch in your story. Food and cozy mysteries, like the one I read was around like a bakery. Food plays a big role, and a lot of times a comforting role, I think.
Yeah. This is something I personally like. I've actually gotten feedback from editors and beta readers before. You have too many comfort scenes in your books. Get rid of all of these food scenes. And so I'm like, you know what? Let's just run with it and see what happens. And it went well. Obviously, it fits really well in cozy. But I've been thinking about this in fantasy for many years. Like, food is such an interesting thing to really build a world and become like a part of the world. Like, it's an immersive experience. Like, food is so integral to so many of our cultures and our family histories, and it's how we bond with other people, and we bond with either family or friends. It's how we relate to other people in our culture or outside of our culture. And it's something that I don't think people give enough credit to in books. Like, having that element of food, like, we have so many senses tied to it in our emotional senses, in our actual physical senses, and it really can make for a really immersive experience. And I think it really aids in that cozy feeling because we have all these memories associated with the food that we eat and the people that we're with when we eat that food.
So true, so true. There was a documentary, probably about 6 months or so ago. I don't know, time's lost all meaning, but it was on the National Geographic Channel on bread. Mm. And it was just interesting talking about breads from different cultures, what the bread, yeah. So it's so interesting. And I think too, we see a bit of ourselves in the food. It's like, oh, this character likes this food. Well, I like this food too. And that's a way to connect with the character.
Yeah. And it's, for me, a nice way to showcase some of the more like family foods that I have, or like regional foods. I wrote about, I think, pierogies in one of my books. And my editor had never heard of a pierogi before. She was in Texas, I think, at the time. And she had to go look up what a pierogi was. But like, I'm from a very like Polish German area, so it's normal. I grew up with pierogies. And I added it because it was familiar to me, but like, it was a new experience for her. So like, these different foods can also be gateways into new experiences.
Mm-hmm. Well, speaking of gateways, if somebody is coming to Cozy Vales, understanding that, you know, each author has their own little corner, mm-hmm. where would you suggest a reader begin to start visiting the Vales?
That's a great question. There's a couple possibilities depending on kind of what they're looking for. We have three anthologies already released. So two of them are winter themed. They're around winter holidays. One of them is a summer theme. It's around summer holidays. And obviously we have the autumn one coming up too. So any of those are a good introduction to the feeling of Cozy Vales in a very seasonal way. But there is one other thing, and this isn't available like for purchase right now, but through the newsletter, there is another, I think it's novel length. What is it called? Intara's Guide.
Is that
Intara's Guide to the, yes, Cozy Vales. Yes. And Scott wrote this one as kind of like an introduction to the different Vales under like a frame story of Intara going to visit the Cozy Vales in search of part of the Vale, which is this really magical chocolate drink. And it's such an interesting story. She literally travels through a ton of different Vales, and you get to experience like little bites and pieces of all these different areas that other scribes created. And he worked very closely with each of the individual authors to get it right. And this one is, I think it should be available through the newsletter for Cozy Vales. So you can get it for free and be able to download it and kind of experience it that way. So like you could think of it as like a travelogue. So kind of either way is a good option. You could jump in right with the stories, with the anthologies, or you could go into a travelogue and get little bite-sized chunks of each Vale.
Well, wonderful. And this is a great time for me to remind our listeners and viewers that the show notes will contain all the links. As authors, we appreciate download early, download often. Please, you know, please explore the links that we will be providing to you. I kind of want to switch that question a little bit because I feel like writing in a shared world is an experience that not a lot of authors get to experience. So what's it like for you, or what's your favorite part of writing in a shared world?
That's a good question too. I mean, there's a few different things and like a few different ways to answer this question. Socially, I love writing in a shared world because all of the scribes are so wonderful to interact with. It's a nice little author community. Everyone is so supportive and like excited for all of your accomplishments, whether it's in Cozy Vales or outside of Cozy Vales. And when it comes to writing within a world, it's a range of experience, right? It's exciting because we're always like developing together. It's such a collaborative experience, which is very different from what a lot of writers experience, I think, where you're kind of on your own for a lot of that writing process. You don't start bringing in other voices or other thoughts until you're much later or you have a draft. And here, yes, we do have that, but we also have this collaborative world building going on all the time. And that's something that's a lot of fun because it lets you think in ways that you wouldn't necessarily think on your own. And it helps to build a really nice, cohesive, strong world and magic and all of that. So that's been a great experience. And I think that's something that having a shared world really benefits. It really helps you in thinking in other ways and working with other people and not being so isolated.
Thank you. You've mentioned many of the things that I also enjoy about writing in a shared world. And I think there's just the creativity. And, you know, we all kind of feed one another because we'll come up with an idea and, you know, somebody be like, oh, you know, well, you know, that sparks another idea. And I think the creativity just gets doubled and tripled when you're in a shared world situation.
For sure. And there's so many ideas that are like, oh, that's great. Someone should write that. Who's going to write that one?
Yeah. Well, this has been a wonderful introduction to the Cozy Vales and to scribe Selina Eckert. Again, I want to encourage everybody to click on all the links in the show notes. I know I'm going to check out Selina's books. So many books, so little time. And I encourage everybody to do that as well. I would just like to close. Why don't you tell us a little bit about your story, if you don't mind, that's going to be in Autumn Tales coming up.
Sure. I have a story set in Honey Hive Vale. Like I mentioned, that's the main Vale that I'm writing in for Cozy Vales. It's not a continuation of any of the other stories, but it has the same characters that I used in the first winter anthology. So this is Farron and her family. They're petalborn, which are kind of like magical plant entities. So her family owns a flower shop, but Farron herself is not gifted with the flower magic that the rest of her family has. So in this upcoming story, she's kind of starting to figure out, well, if I can't grow flowers like they can, what can I do? What should I do? What do I want to do? And it's all in this lead up to what's known as the Moonbell Festival in Honey Hive Vale. And it's a once in a decade event where these really beautiful, large purple flowers bloom under moonlight for one night only. And it coincides with the Harvest of Hope, which is the autumn festival that's celebrated kind of throughout Cozy Vales. And so we're leading up to this Moonbell Festival and the Harvest of Hope. And there's a little bit of a mystery element again here. Her sister's favorite little trinkets, for some reason, start going missing. So in the midst of preparing for this festival, she's also trying to help her sister find these things and figure out what happened to them. And I'm not going to give any spoilers away, because that would be the whole ending. But that's basically the story. So,
oh, that sounds positively delightful. I love it. I can't wait to read everybody's story in this anthology.
Same. I've read a couple already, and they are phenomenal.
Well, great. Well, there's a tease for the listeners and the viewers. They have got to download that autumn anthology. And before we formally close, again, all the links are in the show notes, but why don't you mind telling people just a little bit about where to find more information about you and your work?
Sure. I'm in a lot of places online. The easiest place to find me is selinajeckert.com. That's my website, where you can find links to all of my books and descriptions for all of them. Other than that, I am on social media, so you can find me on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok. Those are the major ones that I kind of hang out on. Other than that, just around online.
Well, wonderful. Well, thank you so much for being our guest here on this episode of The Cozy Hearth. I want to thank everybody for listening to this episode, and want to remind all of you to please keep it cozy.